91.3, welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp number. Query, comment, and criticize. 47913 if you still send a thing called an SMS. It's been more than 100 days since Jamal Khashoggi's murder took place in the Saudi embassy in Istanbul. And so far, not one piece of his body has been found. From the outset, Turkey, the host country, has pushed hard to reveal those who were responsible. Although Khashoggi will go down history as a symbol of personal dignity and sacrifice, the pressure to find out the facts seems to be already dwindling. So, is Khashoggi's murder being forgotten? Online is Osman Sert, research director at the Ankara Institute and former advisor to the Turkish Minister of Foreign Affairs. Osman Sert, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, Mr. Morton. Thank you very much for calling me.
Let's have a look at this particular scenario. Has Jamal Khashoggi's murder been forgotten?
Unfortunately, I am so sad to say this, but there is such a possibility, especially before Mr. Kalamart's report, the UN's report for this issue, there was such an issue, because at the very outset, there was a very huge reaction from the international press, international public, and, you know, the Turkish president's role is so important on this issue. The momentum was so high, but day by day, of course, there are so many other international issues, Brexit discussions in the European Union, and the shutdown issue in the United States. And every country has its own problems. And for instance, about Turkey, which is the champion of the justice, call for justice for Mr. Khashoggi, you know, there is the local elections are coming, and that's why, obviously and naturally, Khashoggi's murder is not the number one top issue in Turkey, and that's why there is such a possibility, unfortunately, which is just staying in front of us. The Ms. Kalamar's report just changing the tune a bit. It brought the issue again to the agenda of the international public, but still there is such a possibility, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is sad, isn't it? And of course, at this radio station, we also see interest in his passing, his murder, diminishing day by day. Do you think that at the end of the day, the Saudis realized this, that interest would wane, and that they were probably very cynical about what they did to Jamal Khashoggi, because maybe they realized that after a big storm, the storm would pass and everybody would forget, and for them, it would be business as usual?
But you're right. Yes, we need to analyze this issue under two headings. First, from the very first day, from the day one, if you look at what the Saudis' positions change, it's a dramatic change, and it is a gain for justice and for the dignity of Mr. Khashoggi. At the very first day, there was a full and bold denial of whatsoever happened in the consulate of Saudi Arabia in Istanbul. They are not accepting anything. Even they are saying that Mr. Khashoggi came and just go out, and that's why there's nothing over there. But now, they are confessing everything. I don't want to say that they are confirming, because the culprits, the responsibles, only can confess it, and they are confessing everything except who is the real responsible. And that's why there's a dramatic and huge shift between the first day and now regarding the Saudis' position. But unfortunately, when the days passed, when the issue was just not among the top 10 issue of international agenda, they are just revising their policies, and even for Turkey, for instance, they are trying to counterbalance Turkey, whatever Turkey did about this issue. For instance, look at Syria. Turkey and Saudi Arabia were just hand-in-hand regarding giving a fight against the Bashar al-Assad regime. Saudi regime's number one issue was toppling the Bashar al-Assad regime over there. They were supporting the Syrian opposition over there, but now they changed their position. The United Arab Emirates are just opening its embassy over there with the sponsorship of Saudi Arabia. There were some discussions to call Bashar al-Assad back to Arab League. Okay, and it is showing that they are trying to counter. What is the reason that they are changing their policies against Bashar Assad, because nothing is changing on Syria, but their policy is changing against Turkey. They want to, you know, you can call it as a revenge, you can call it as a counterattack to Turkey. They are trying to change the game again, okay? And that's why they are using time, and time is just working for the Saudis to an extent. But I want to say that sometimes justice may function so slowly. We have seen several examples at the world history, okay? There were so huge international crimes against humanity. Justice worked very slowly, but at the end of the day, it worked. And that's why we should be very, you know, everybody should be so patient and insisting about call for justice.
And of course, there have been some inquiries into Jamal Khashoggi's killing, preliminary findings, and we've seen the CIA's conclusion and Saudi Arabia's own investigation. But what is your response to the first preliminary investigation into the death of Jamal Khashoggi? Do you think it was honest?
You're talking about the UN's
Let's start off with the United Nations. Preliminary finding. Yeah.
The Ms. Kalamar just put very clearly, you know, this murder is a premeditated, a planned, and perpetrated by Saudi officials. It is so important. She was in Turkey, was talking to Turkish officials, talked to both the, you know, the politicians and, you know, the prosecutors. She tried to enter into the Saudi consulate, but she couldn't get any, you know, positive response from the Saudis. And to an extent, yes, it's fair. She is putting the facts on the ground so clearly. What is important, Ms. Kalamar's, you know, the UN report, is that for the first time, an international figure, an international actor, a representative of an international body is telling this. Until that time, you know, Turkey was just behind this issue till the bottom. The CIA was telling something, the American Congress members were telling something. The European media, especially Ms. Merkel, just deserves an appreciation on that. She was so clear on the issue, but they are all, you know, national figures, some government officials or representing their own governments only. The UN report is just taking this issue one step further, forward as an international institution, and that's why I think it is so important, and the international public, the international press, and everybody should be following the fate of this report.
Yes, indeed. I mean, in discussing the fact that tension on Jamal Khashoggi's murder is fast receding, I think it is important to say, Mr. Osman Sert, that the language used by Ms. Kalamand in the United Nations report, as you said, premeditated and planned. I mean, you cannot be more specific than that. And of course, correctly, first time that an international body, an international actor, comes out and condemns Saudi Arabia, which, as you've so correctly said, many other states did not do.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, though it is not binding, because it's just a report and it is not binding for the members, but anyway, at the end of today, there is a report on a website of an international organization, and you can make a reference to this. But at the end of the day, there should be an authorized investigation, an international investigation, with the contribution of Turkey, to see, to reveal what really happened to Mr. Khashoggi. Otherwise, they may all be blamed or labeled as some personal or politically motivated statements. Though she was not able to make cooperation with the Saudis, and that's why the report can be blamed to be one-sided, whatever it is. But a mandate should be given to an international body, you know, international court, whatever it is. Of course, the Saudis should be in it, but whether that, however they want to cooperate or not, and then accordingly something should be done. But it is not an issue at the end of the day. Though it is a criminal thing, we should accept that this is something political, okay? Because Saudis, with the United Arab Emirates, they were planning to change the regional orders in Middle East, and there was a clash of different regions for an order in Middle East, and that is why this international criminal thing is just changing the political landscape of the Middle East as well, and that is why it is so difficult to see everything purely from legal perspective. For instance, Turkey tried to keep this issue as a legal thing and try to keep the momentum high and try to keep the issue not as a bilateral rift between Turkey and Saudi Arabia, but an international thing. And then to an extent, Turkey is successful on that, but at the end of the day, the alleged responsible is a crown prince of a country, and that's why it will have some political repercussions, and that's why the political momentum should go hand in hand with the legal process as well.
Absolutely, and of course, I think what is interesting about the CIA's particular report is that they do point a finger at Prince Mohammed bin Salman, which, by CIA standards and these kind of things is quite interesting. one would have expected a cover-up in a sense, but here they pointed a finger at Prince Mohammed bin Salman, which must have caused the Trump administration a few red faces.
And the issue is that, I can understand that the importance of the CIA report, but at the end of the day, CIA is just basing its comment or report, whatever it is, on the Turkish intelligence findings. And that's why it's so obvious that the head of CIA was in Turkey, just not with her counterpart in Turkey, and the Turkish intelligence, Turkish judiciary, Turkish prosecutors just put very clear evidences in front of this. Okay? And that's why it is so obvious that the CIA, unless they manipulate the evidences which was put forward over there. Okay? And that's why, yes, CIA just confirmed it, but at the end of the day, it was the result of the Turkish Turkish official authorities' findings. They made this decision. Okay, if they were saying completely the opposite thing, then it would be a contradiction with whatever they have received from the Turkish officials.
Yeah, so in other words, what in the trade we'd call a copycat report. In other words.
Excuse me, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I was saying it's a copycat report. In other words, they've just said what Turkey revealed.
Not exactly. I can't say that exactly, the copy of the Turkish report, but at the end of the day, this is the basic and the most important finding about what happened to Mr. Khashoggi is the Turkish authorities' findings. You know, the list of death squads of Saudis just came to Istanbul. They have pictures, they have, passports, the flight details of the death squads coming to Turkey and going like the forensic guys, identity and the divorce recordings, whatever it is, okay, and all was just put by the Turkish authorities, and accordingly, of course, the Americans probably they have their own findings, and then they brought them together, and it felt so difficult for them to reach at completely different results than the Turkish findings.
What would you say are the international implications of this case, of the Jamal Khashoggi murder? Because it opens up a lot of questions, doesn't it? Is an embassy international territory? Under what law would the Saudi murderers fall under? How do different countries deal with it? It raises a lot of questions, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. But if you look at the international implications, just look at, the timetable before Mr. Khashoggi's death and after that. Before this horrendous crime in this Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Mohammed bin Salman was an international celebrity, a new rising celebrity of the Middle East. He was so popular, and the Saudi and the United Arab Emirates' common vision for the region was so popular, and the American-Saudi relations was so good, and it was going, which is also parallel to what Israel is trying to see in the region. Okay, and then after the death of late Khashoggi, change. Now nobody will be happy to give a picture with Mohammed bin Salman, and that's why it directly changed the flow of history. It directly changed the flow of international politics and international landscape in the region, and that's why it is, you know, a very important turning point for the region as well. From now on, what should be done? You know, the Washington Post and, you know, so many websites, the American press, and all, you know, international press organizations, as whatever you are doing right now, is important to keep the momentum high. But the governments, the national governments, should feel the pressure coming from their own public and from international public to take some steps on this issue. And it won't be, you know, a costless relation for anybody to keep up with Mohammed bin Salman from now on.
Absolutely. Now, there's one question I have to ask you. I've always been thinking and always been amazed at the arrogance and the stupidity of the Saudis in thinking that they could go to a consulate in a city in the world anywhere and do things and think that they were not going to be watched. I mean, it's an open secret that countries watch each other, they monitor each other. How could they have been so stupid and so arrogant to think that nobody would be listening in and that nobody would be watching them? This is what I find difficult to understand.
I don't want to, you know, use these words for a national government, but at the end of the day, there is a clear miscalculation. And there are some dates for this miscalculation. What is this? This was not probably the first incident for the Saudis. Some Saudi princes were just disappearing in the European countries. Some Saudi, you know, opposition figures were being jailed in Saudi Arabia. Some NGO members were being jailed in Saudi Arabia, and international public was just so silent about it. Okay, and probably the Riyadh, and I don't want to say the whole Saudi kingdom. Okay, I don't want to blame all the Saudi family about it.
No, that's a good point.
Turkey tried
yes.
to separate Mohammed bin Salman from the whole Saudi kingdom and the Saudi, you know, the establishment, whatever you call it. Okay, and the people who are planning and perpetrating this crime, they thought that since whatever they have done, they have went with impunity, they didn't pay any price, they have seen that they can do whatever they want without any cost. Okay, this is the miscalculation, because they have done so many things until that time, and nobody said anything to them, and they said that, okay, let's go ahead. This was the problem. Okay, but anytime, nobody can understand how such an horrendous crime can be planned, can be perpetrated in another country, even in your country. Okay, so, well, forget about it. It happened in Turkey. In your own country, whatever the government and the country is, and just killing a journalist, and even nobody, the Saudi foreign minister even, cannot reply that, where is Mr. Khashoggi's body? There is no reply that this is unacceptable, and it is, it doesn't matter what is happened in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah, in Riyadh, or in Istanbul, or anywhere else. But there is an open miscalculation. They couldn't foresee what will happen at the end of the day, but there was a base for this miscalculation.
And what a heavy price to pay for it, and not advisable, and a huge miscalculation in any case. I mean, why on earth would one want to take out a journalist? And our final question, that Mr. Jamal Khashoggi was not an aggressive journalist. He wasn't an aggressive person. The arguments that he was putting forward were quite reasoned, and in certain times he was supporting the Saudi family and he was supporting the changes in the country. Do you think that that makes it just that much more unforgivable that it happened to him?
It's impossible. Look, the issue is that if you look at the issues of crimes according to the identity and the history and the life of the victims, and then you will just losing your focus on justice. And that's why what is important is what happened in Saudi Kingdom's, you know, consulate in Istanbul. And even, and this is making the issue much more, you know, any time it's unacceptable. But even he was not, you know, a leader of, and you know, a rebel organization.
That's right.
He said something different from, even he loves his, I believe that he was loving his country, and he served his country. Okay, even sometimes we were not angry when he was serving the Saudi Kingdom. Okay, we were not saying what, I don't know what was his position at that time. But in a way, he was not, you know, he was just criticizing some policies of this. And even this was not tolerated by somebody in Saudi Kingdom. Okay, even this was not tolerated. And forget about, you know, a real opposition, a real critique of what's happening in the country, okay? And everybody has, as long as it's peaceful and within, you know, democratic framework, has the right to criticize his government, and it's so obvious thing. And even this critique was not tolerated in this country, and that's why I mean, any kind of excuse cannot be accepted to sympathize what happened in Istanbul. Nothing matters on it. There's a huge, horrendous crime over there, and it should be, you know, the real responsible should be revealed, whoever behind it.
Osman Sert, Research Director, Ankara Institute, saying that justice must be served in terms of Jamal Khashoggi's murder. And, of course, 100 days, and let's hope that the world does not fall silent, and let's hope that the perpetrators stand in court and are brought to justice. Osman Sert, thanks for chatting to us. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you very much.